Through recent artistic conceptions, we explore a potential world of advanced robotics. Essential Pittsburgh production assistant Rebecca Zook and WESA reporter Margaret Krause consider the philosophical questions one might ponder if robots were a part of everyday life.
The window at Toby Fraley's robot repair shop is dotted with robots in various states of disrepair. An arm here, a coil there, and one robot pressed against the glass, looking sadly at passersby, longing to get out.
I will sometimes get an email from someone wanting me to repair like a Roomba or there's a pool cleaning robot, and then it's a very awkward return of the email.
At Fraley's robot repair shop, they don't actually repair robots. Toby Fraley is an artist, and he has a different service to offer.
I'm just interested in kind of shaking people out of reality once in a while and seeing something different and just getting them thinking, you know, there's some strange stuff out there and it could be right down here on 6th Street.
Fraley's exhibit imagines a world in which robots are as commonplace as pets or plants or dishwashers. He laments that robots don't make up a part of our everyday.
I'm afraid it might not even be in my lifetime. We're still in the baby steps of this. We're not anywhere near where I thought we should be.
Fraley's feeling, however, is not quite accurate. Robots are in our midst, working on manufacturing lines, in the service industry, or in the armed forces. They just bear so little resemblance to our conception of a futuristic robot.
I think the general public, when you say robot, they do picture, you know, beady eyes and beeping talking and arms and legs.
Those kinds of robots exist, too. In fact, one Boston company, Rethink Robotics, has created Baxter, a manufacturing robot with two arms and a display face. Baxter can work safely among humans. He's in such high demand, the company estimates they have a 3-month backlog. Many cheer the advancement of robotics, but our enthusiasm for new gadgets is often accompanied by a deep fear of being replaced. Catherine Rampell, in a February New York Times article, writes, "In hindsight, historical fears of technological change look foolish, given that automation has increased living standards and rendered our work weeks both safer and shorter." But that fact doesn't quite calm our trepidation. Our only leg up on robots is our humanity, which is why robots that look like humans and not at all mechanical tend to give people a weird feeling. Again, Toby Fraley.
Personally, once they start taking on a human form too much, they get creepy. I'd rather see, you know, some shiny metal and some blinking lights in their head, not, you know, silicon stretched over servo motors and whatnot to make it look more human. Like, part of the joy of having a robot is it's not, you know, another person hanging around with you. It's like a mechanical man.
We want robots to fulfill a purpose, to improve us, but not to be us. Just across the bridge from Fraley's robot repair shop, the Warhol Museum also recently made robots part of everyday life.
We would like to take this time to remind you to please turn off any devices that emit radio waves and Wi-Fi signals and might interfere with the production. Now please enjoy the show.
Mr. Oriza Hirata, director of the Seinen Dunn Theater Company, presented two works at the Warhol in February that imagined vastly different scenarios of living with robots. Sayonara portrayed the interactions between a terminally ill girl and the robot designed to keep her company. As the play opened, two figures sat unblinking under the bright stage lights, their hands folded in their laps. Eerily, it was impossible to tell which was human.
"During the day, I will talk with all sorts of people. But I will surely find what it is I like the most. Once I've found it, I will cherish it and keep it until I die. So even if I am far away, I will not be lonely. Now I have to go."
"Is that the feeling I have now?"
"Yes, probably."
"When I was little, I didn't understand why Daddy bought you for me. Not that I understand now either."
"I'm sorry not to be of any help."
"It's all right."
The dying girl is restless, and the robot senses she's not pleasing her. It apologizes. being useless is its cardinal sin. In stark contrast to Sayonara, the second play, I, Worker, presents a young couple whose home life is eased along by two robots. In this production, there's no mistaking these bots for humans. Hard plastic arms and large circular eyes make them accessible, but not creepy. The robots experience simple emotions in I, Worker, but they tug at the audience's heartstrings for not being able to comprehend the more complex emotions of their human bosses. Hirata said the contrast the audience experiences between the two works was unintentional.
It
actually happened to be together, but it was made different times, so it was not purposeful that this contrast happened, actually.
He acknowledged the wariness that the human-looking robots created.
ただ面白いのは普通のこうアンドロイドではないロボットの方でもですね人間は非常に親しみを覚えるということですね。
However, what's interesting is the ones that don't look like human, actually we feel close. We can also feel close to them.
ですからそれはその今までのロボットっていうのは博覧会で展示したりしてきたんですけど、このお芝居で見せるとのコンテクストの中で見せてるわけですね。そのコンテクストが重要なわけです。
Before we were only shown robots in like expos and museums, so but now we show it in the context, and what's important is showing it in context.
The tiny motions of the more mechanical-looking robots suggested human qualities without setting off alarm bells. They weren't that good at being us.
他の人間に心があると感じるのはどういう時かって。
Oh, when one human being feel like another one has a mind or soul or heart, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
で、それはその小さな目の動きとかですね、首のかしげ方とか小さな間とかによって私たちはロボットがあったかも心を持ってるかのように感じるわけですよね。
So by thinking of it, probably the little movement of eyes or how you tilt the heads, that's how we feel that human has soul. So having robots to do thatWe feel like they have minds or feelings.
But Hirata doesn't think humans and robots are all that different.
人間も、これ誤解を受けやすい言い方になるんですけど、人間もプログラミングされている存在だということです。
I don't want you to take it wrong, but we believe that humans are also being programmed.
Living side by side with robots forces humans to consider their own existence.Maybe that's what we find so terrifying.
Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM. Monday at noon, Noah Brode has a city council update, and we'll check in with our sports guy, Bob Dvorak. We welcome your comments and story ideas at ESSPGH at WESA.FM.I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and this is 90.5 WESA, Pittsburgh's NPR news station.
She's a black belt in karate. Hey! Working for the city. She has to discipline.